Don't give up when times get tough. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Though our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see. We can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze onto things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Let me read the rest of it all again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we have to suffer? Why is life so difficult sometimes? As difficult as it is to understand, God can use our pain for His purpose. Don't be surprised if He is using tough times in your life to test your faithfulness. Faithful people keep on keeping on what other people choose to give up. Faithful people are diligent and determined. They are persistent. They change their perspective and focus on God's promise in His Word. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, you need to get the right perspective when you are going through a problem. If you want to persist, don't look at a temporary problem. Look at a long-term reward. Don't look at temporary pain. Look at long-term gain. Don't look at it with a short-term view. What's happening to me right now? Instead, look at the character that you are building, because you haven't given up. You're hanging in there. God is more interested in what you are becoming than what you accomplish. You are facing difficult times right now. I challenge you to write this verse on a 3x5 card and memorize it. But let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9. I pray it will encourage you to keep going. God is working in you for you. At just the right time and in just the right ways, you will be rewarded for your faithful life.
Amen. Sam, you can do it.
You know what?
What grade was that?
Boy, you must have a great wife.
Alice is a great example to me of endurance. And because even in the midst of struggles that we all go through, struggles, whether we're in the hospital, whatever it is, he's got about one focus, and that focus is going forward, you know? And, like yesterday, toward the end of the day, was a day for hell for Elsie. And things happen with the vehicles and this and that. And, here, he talked about being there till 9 o'clock, moving cars around, doing all this and then all that. But, then I see him in the morning, and what a great spirit. That when we go through troubles and we go through situations, is how this guy is an example to me and to all of us that no matter, even after he tried to play Batman, and breaks his foot, even for that whole time, the patience and perseverance and just doing. And now that he's walking around, he's like a little busy bee all over the place. Those things are encouraging when you see something like that, because we all go through trouble, we all go through situations in our life, and sometimes you just your attitude has to do with everything. How's your attitude? So this happened, that happened. What are you going to do? Sometimes you got to walk away from something.
Yeah.
and you're gonna catch your breath.
And it comes down to you can't handle, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you handle what happens to you.
Yeah.
How you deal with it, how you process it, how you move on, what's the purpose, you know? The most loneliest party you'll ever go to is a pity party, so don't ever throw up.
Was your dad like that? Was your dad? I never
met pretty much, yeah. And my grandfather, yeah.
And they did, and the struggles they went through.
Yeah, lick your wounds and get on with it, you know? Pick yourself up by the boots and get going.
His family was like that.
Yeah, he just warned us about it in the Word. He says we're going to be persecuted for his name. So it's not you, it's who you represent.
Yeah.
And the more you represent it, the harder it gets. Yeah. The devil don't like us. We look too much like God.
He looks like God. I see him.
Good, yeah. Mark.
It reminds me of some of my training in the military when I went through airborne. What they teach you is parachute landing, falling from a perfectly good airplane. When you land on the ground, well, you fall down, but they want you to get right back up immediately. Get up, you know, shake it off. It's a good way to look at it. Get right back up again.
You know, when you're in that ring, boxing ring, and you get being smacked all around by Ali. But I remember that one fight where he did the rope-a-dope. Remember the rope-a-dope where, you know, he just let them live and all that? He let them get wore out, you know?
And then he opened up on them.
You know? And so we need to learn how to do that rope-a-dope.
You reminded me of a vision the Lord gave me about that. When you get knocked around by Satan, you know, and the demons. I shared this one, I think he might have been there. And I said, I pictured, remember the old punching dummy that the kids used to have? And it would roll over and pop right back up.
Bozo the Clown.
That kid's coming up more than he goes down. We're okay.
Amen.
I had a punching Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
That's why you're so tired.
I do remember, though.
Yeah. Bozo the Clown.
That thing to death.
Wow. And it would just
come right back up. Knock you up.
Had sand in the bottom.
I met him in person.
My favorite was the Rock and Sock and Robot.
I was on TV and I was on the road. I was one of the kids.
You heard that already, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's how they used to.
I'll knock your block off.
I'm sorry. That old saying that says that, you know, if you know first don't succeed, try again. And you know, so many people, you know, start businesses and then didn't work. You know, you look at all at those motivational videos or books that you read and stuff like that. You know that people that have tried hundreds of times. Before they finally hit it, they hit the right thing, the right job, or whatever it is, a light bulb, whatever. And that's the tenacity that they have that they just don't quit. Too many people today, they have a quit spirit. Their marriages don't last long. Their jobs and this and that, and it really surprises.
A lack of commitment.
It is. And what makes me laugh, those people that try to, go in, they're there a week and going to try to tell you how to do this and how to do that. You've never done anything yet, you know? And so it's the tenacity of doing what you're doing. You know, like when the Lord called me into the ministry, you know, it took a lot to close a business, to do whatever we had to do, something that you know that you got money, to something that you don't know. And what he said, hey, go ahead, don't worry, I got you. Really? I feel like we're hanging out here, though. You sure you got me, you know? And but you know, you don't quit though. You don't quit on the Lord. You don't quit on your family. You don't quit on. You don't quit on those things. But it's easy to do.
There's an old proverb that says, it's better to try and fail than have never tried at all. So,
yes, sir. I also want to say, like Moses, and everything getting chewed up by the snakes.
Yeah.
But he had to have people hold up his arms.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think this group would hold it up. Yeah. Okay, and, you know, I get him up. He knows. And why I'm saying that is because, in a moment, all your trials will be different. And what says something about the next day, which is the thing about
magic? Joy comes in the morning.
Literally, a crash in my motorcycle was, I don't know. But literally, I didn't think anything about it because he arranged it in the right place. You know? If I'd got another block, it would have been in the middle of 16th Street. But it stalled and it fell over in a guy's yard and it also did burn the heck out of my leg. Why am I saying that? It's just, you know, I need to change my heart. I need to change my heart. I need to change my heart to say,
oh yeah,
not focus. The motorcycle's fine, all that. I need to change my heart.
How's the rider?
Thank you. Yeah, well, I'm picking up 850 pounds and like jumping off a roof onto another roof. The issue I'm trying to get
I don't make it up.
Make it you act. The issue I'm trying to get to you, I just lost it. I asked Jesus in my life 47 years, 6 years in Vietnam. This is about, I said he right to the Lord, but I don't.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get back to where it was.
Oh.
Quit looking. Now, it's easy to say, but I need to be more thankful. Instead of seeing two or three little bed bugs, I can look at the whole tomato and say, hey, I didn't lose my life, which my attitude, I might have been now. But here's, I'm going to stop on that to say thank you and be grateful that my brothers held up my arm, forgave me or whatever. And that it turned out as well as it did. And after doing all, sometimes you stand, and it's not going to be the other side, and you have to be there. So that's all I'm going to say about thank you.
I was reading a story about this guy that worked at his office, right? And he had this one boss that he was really, a little pushy or whatever, and never appreciated what he did, but the work that he did though was good, and he was like the one time, a couple of times it happened, he put something together and the guy took that as his own and showed it to his boss so that he could get the accolades. Anybody ever have that, you know? As you did it, but somebody got the accolades for it, but the guy didn't say nothing, you know. And but one day that guy was called into the boss's office, the big guy, and he asked him point blank, did you do this? Did you put this thing together? And he says, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And they figured, we knew it was you, that it wasn't him. And but because he kept his cool, and said, well, and continued on, eventually he became that guy's boss and ended up running the whole show there because of the integrity that he had. Not right away we want to vindicate ourselves. Right away we want to, take a hold of it, but what did he do? No, he said, let God take care of it, you know? And when he takes care of it, he does a better job.
Amen.
Yeah, he does a whole lot better job.
At the end of that, but just point out there, and what it says, we're talking about not looking at what we got, but you take right here, but what is seen is temporary.
Yeah.
But what is unseen is eternal.
Yeah.
Following God's leading, what we're going to do is going to be right. And the flesh man is going to have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I've dealt with that over the years. I think we all have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have mine.
What's sticking in my claw? Is that the dog in the corner?
Just the ant. In our ministry, that I mean, we had a lot of people around. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a little a busy bee type thing.
Every time you say busy bee, you gotta go, yeah.
I mean, like so we had a lot of people doing a lot of stuff, you know, and we were here, there, all that, and you know what's the interesting thing about the whole thing? That the miracle of what we did over there were the people that nobody else wanted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It was Diane, not Bond.
Diane. And so we were able to do all these things because these guys were grateful for what we did through the ministry, you know? And we had a lot of fun.
So I'll have people 20 plus years later coming back thanking you.
Yeah.
And Diane was actually dismissed from Countryside. She came out to the Diet Smith meeting and was such a great worker. And that's the faithfulness of this. Actually, it was faithful because of the faithfulness. I thank you.
Andre. The next guy over
here.
Mark.
He's in the book of the Bible. I think you
could hear.
He's in the book.
I ain't listening to you.
First of all,
don't know my name? I ain't listening.
First of all,
he does that to me all the time. Tommy?
I call him Tommy all the time.
Well, that was just right.
But you know what, it's just like, recently I had a meeting with my superintendent of getting my licensing back for as pastor to Foursquare, and the guy was telling me, would I be interested in going to different churches and people that want to start outreach ministries and all that, you know? And that he says that, you know, you're the perfect person, you can do it, you know? And that to me was encouraging, you know? Because I haven't had too much of that here lately, you know? But there's somebody, I don't know who is it here that's always been encouraging me. And I know Tommy is, I miss Tommy.
He called me anymore.
But you know what? Everything that we've done, every all of us, you know, through ministry, outreach programs and stuff like that, man, we've learned so much, man. We have worked such a reference resource, you know, that a lot of stuff we've done, man, it's incredible. And we never quit, you know, we're still at it, you know. I'm gonna leave this, I'm gonna leave that. I think, like, for myself, is that, you know, instead of being like Duran that says, no more, he quit, you know.
No more.
But we continue forward onto what God has called us to do, you know. We don't quit, you know, we just gotta keep going forward. But,
what are you saying, that mountain keeps getting higher?
No. Yes, you know what? It seems, as we get older, it seems like it's getting higher because I definitely can't climb up that mountain like I used to, you know?
That's where your feet have to be strong enough to tell the mountain to move.
Yeah. Huh.
I think faith has carried people, older people, a lot further than they want to go.
Yeah. He comes out with some stuff and I say, that's true, though, you know?
And the reason is, as old folks, we've had a long time to learn about faith.
Yes.
Trust.
Yeah.
You know what you should do, Sam? When you have time, and you're sitting in your office, your quiet time, go back to when you first composed your rhythm, you got into ministry. As the Lord brings it to you, remember, start writing down, we did this, we did that. And just, you know, and you look at all that, and you'll see how God views you, but yet you'll get encouraged to how He's still going to use you in those areas and teach people how to do all that stuff you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. You know, our life's not just to live it and die. We need to leave something when we go.
Yeah.
And you can leave a legacy of teaching people how to, you know, take the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, we're so worried about our age and everything else. And he goes, just when we get something, if you're doing the work of the Lord, you're not going to take your last breath until you're all done. And he said, come on,
well, I know that's right.
And that's what we have to do is go that way.
Yeah.
Continue what the Lord leads us to do.
Amen.
He's having a problem with his mind.
Oh, different. Okay, what's the average? What is the average age? 50? Who's 50? You 50? Where? Let's go up to 60.
Long time.
Well, he's not 60.
Opa!
I still lifted up 850 pounds, but to move 9-pound bags at 6 o'clock in the morning of masonry, maybe I shouldn't do that. But I still have worth, and that's the issue. We still have worth, even if it's a smile. Just because I can't do that, which is stupid in the first place, what can Sam do? And you're saying I'm moving on to be a what? What would that be?
A consultant.
I'm being a consultant. There's really more money in being a consultant than doing the other stuff. And so, what popped in my head, I am just the way I am. And Jesus ran to this and said, it's more. See, I have things that talk to me all the time. The issue is, come on,
butter and toast.
First of all, transition. We made like this. He's still a good body man. He's still a little bit. We still
yard
have
dog.
More.
Yeah,
that's
look
where
the,
I was. It just popped
look
back.
At the physique.
Monstrous amount of distraction. That Elijah's bones. He's in the dirt. He's in the grave. He's on rock. Wherever Elijah was. Now I'm going to say this. Because the flesh, you say, oh, the flesh has no value. But, you know, when they threw that dead kid on Elijah's bones, it still had the power of the resurrection.
Amen.
So, I'm going to show this quick thing, stay focused here a second. Quick thing, I used to do drywall work, and this lady said, this is professional. It was special stuff. I had to put some glass and
flash.
So I spent a lot of time with this lady out. Linda Cheney.
You
ever met Linda Cheney? Linda Cheney, she was at Grace Cathedral and stuff like that. Her got very a lot of money. He was home shopping producer.
Okay.
He died of cancer right after he got saved. I mean, the enemy was after. So she asked if I come over. I'm doing this drywall work, right? For the stained glass thing. I never ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in somebody's house. I get in there and I get so drunk. I get so, whoa, I'm out of it. And I just keep standing. I just keep standing for hours. Now, this is what I was trying to get to. Thank you, Ben. I'm just standing away on drywall. I'd go in the bathroom, I'd have to sit on there. Linda Cheney, because her husband died of cancer, because of the time she hurt, she was in dire need. It was he's closest to the broken heart. And isn't a boy's prison book. The little boy was eating the dog food. Now they're 400,000 a year people. The little kid's eating dog food, and she can't help him because her back's out. And the people in prison, people did as much as they could. But she was in dire distress. The presence of God was in the house. So, 2 years later, I see her at Praise Cathedral, Linda Cheney, and she goes, man, it's so good to see you, Phil. Like that. I go, man, I haven't been there. Please, take it, this is not ever. Well, I haven't been that stoned in a long, long time. Well, I'm sitting on a toilet, cannot move. I just show the presence of the Holy Spirit. No, I don't care what. That isn't the point. She said, you know, you were going to do the trim down there. And I said, no, I know. She said, the guy came in to do the trim on the bottom, and he put his hand where you've been sanding. And he was stoned, that's my term of being high, happy, pretty good. For 2 hours, he was on the floor.
Wow.
Because the guy just, see what he said? I'm trying to say, sometimes just your presence, not me, but just your presence, Sam, from you sitting down there, somebody sits down there beside you, here's one more trick, another one, whether you believe it or not. This other guy's a gospel singer, Vinay's or something like that, David, something. And he's going through this airport, but he had to leave like this. And he's trying to get this Coke, and then the cup didn't work right. And he takes the Coke and he does this, and it didn't work right. And so he puts the cup down there, and this lady, she just comes up like that. Now, he shared this, and he's a world singer and everything. I don't think he's just lying about this stuff. And she went to, and this other lady behind her on this little thing, grabbed the Coke thing, to move it, put it in the garbage can, and she said, man, my back don't hurt anymore. Must have been a Holy Ghost cup. Sometimes God wants stuff done that don't make a bit of sense.
Amen to that.
I smoked a cigarette with this guy that attacked me. And I thought, man, I'm glad I smoked cigarettes.
How did I attack you?
This guy attacked me because I wore the, and I taped it off now. I said, I don't want to offend anybody, but don't really wait until the devil don't like me. That's what I want to tell you. But Jesus is getting things done in spite of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead, Okay, you got my full attention.
Everyone has a way of scratching you during the time that you're doing God's work.
Right.
Okay? And it, what it is you put it on something that's temporary. Like what you're talking about here. A distraction. Okay? A lot of times we don't see why this is happening to us. But it's to prevent the moving of God's Spirit in your ministry many, many times. You know? Sure, Andre, you can understand that. It seems like when you're going around hitting it really good, and then all of a sudden out of you're blindsided. You know, and I can't tell you how many times that happened to me. And the inside of my flesh, I'm like torn apart, and I'm going, ah! You know, and what it's done is it's taken my mind off my goal.
Right.
And it's placed it on self, on me. You know, take
you know, yeah. You know what, man? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, all I'm saying is,
hi, Katie, how are you?
Is it'll take, might take a while, but you have to get your perspective back on the goal. You know, and in my situation with my wife, she said, you will not do this, you will not do that, and you know, and I'm like, well, so what's going on here? I've come to share with the group, to share my heart with the group, you know, and I'm being told, you know, you can't do that anymore, you can't do your marriage. Okay, so, but what I'm saying is it's a distraction.
Right.
Okay, now, okay. Maybe I'm only here for Phil.
Okay? One of the only reasons I'm here.
Okay. Right. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
You know? Obviously, things, you know, God's grace for us during the distraction is basically for us to take our eyes off of the things that are temporary and put them back on the things that are eternal, and then let Him take it from there. You know, I wish I had the answers for everything. I have the answers for nothing. But if I go to the Lord, He has the answer, and He can create the situation to remedy the problem.
What? Okay.
I've got a little card that I'm getting some new ones printed up. I don't know if I don't have it with me. It's on my dresser. Simple answer to what you're talking about, and it's a given to someone that says, "Dear Jesus, I have a problem. It's me." And Jesus' answer is, "Dear child, I have the answer. It's me."
Amen.
Simple. Turn to Him and say, "What do I do?" And I've done that, and I get an answer. So, wow, that didn't make sense to me, but it does now.
Amen. Mark,
what Fitz is saying brings to mind is when Satan comes and feeds the BS in your head, all you can do is recognize that, give it away, and get back on track. I learned it young to do that. As a matter of fact, I got lazy and didn't do it as quickly as I used to. And I learned that I did that too. And that's all a distraction.
And you know what? I was telling Algie, we went to a conference not too long ago. And I think I shared it, but now I'll share it again. And this conference, why am I here? So, that I'm saying to myself, but the conference was talking about a word which is called bias. Bias is another word of discrimination or all that, but to me it's a stronger word. Because we go through life and we deal with issues of life and we develop our biases against people, places, and things. And you develop this and you say, well, you know, these people are either prejudiced. They think they know all, you know, they belittle you, they put you down. This is the thing that goes in your mind. And so then you categorize certain people by these feelings that you have because they dog you, or they think they're better than you, maybe they got better, they have a higher education, and they have, you know, even pastors and all that, some of these guys turn out like seminary teacher, they're stuck on stuff. And so they look at you in a way that they're like, who are you? This is me. So throughout all of this, you develop these biases or these prejudices in your heart against certain types of people. And so I didn't realize that. I knew I had issues because everybody keeps telling me. So I had issues.
That's good though.
Yeah.
Where's the sign?
But you know, but once I realized that I went to a pastor's meeting Monday. Pastor Reyes called me. And I used to go to these pastor's meetings and say, these people don't do crap, they don't do nothing. All they do is talk. But I had a different perspective when I went this time. They actually asked me to say something because they were going around. And I was so proud of myself because I really spoke in Spanish correctly. I said, Lord, that was God, you know. But the thing that I say was this, you know, that the importance of being here, like right here, is the fact that, or them, those pastors, is that if we don't do anything, we're encouraging one another, lifting one another up, holding each other's burden because this pastor had this going on, that pastor had that. If they don't do anything, any outreach, any nothing, it's okay because you're fulfilling a need that there is in the body, in the church. You know how many pastors are falling to the wayside? How many churches are closing? And the biggest reason is because these guys have nobody to talk to. They have nobody that they can share their hearts with. And because if they share their hearts, then you know that pastor's going through this or this and that. And so they bottle up these things and they're hurting inside. And so, but when you finally realize what that, you know, you go to the doctor, why are you coughing? Why is it they find out to give you a prescription for it and you're better? So we have issues in our own heart that we have to look inside and deal with that. And I thank God that I went, and this was a secular event. It wasn't no Christian event. I'm going to tell you something. You can learn sometimes more from a secular event than you're going to do in a Christian place because they're looking at it in a logical manner. And we're all logical people. We're human. We're dealing with stuff. And I tell you what, that made a difference in me, the way I look at things. Like, for example, Mark. Yes, guys, believe it or not, Mark said something to me that made a lot of sense. And he does make sense every now and then. I thank you, Mark.
Don't judge me.
Don't judge me. he said something to me that made sense. And I had a meeting with my pastor, I just said a few minutes ago, but I'm going to be, God willing, be able to do some other things to be able to encourage and teach and show people how to bring people together and to do ministry. But you know what? When you're so busy about yourself, your issue, your problem, that all you can see is this little thing here, but God has this vast thing here for you that he wants you to do. And we're so concerned to our own problems and our own issues that we don't let God work through us because he wants to expand. He wants to use you, but he can't until you let go of yourself. Lord, hear on that. Use me. Use me. So when you say that, you better watch it. Yeah, go ahead.
Careful what you work for.
Yeah.
Don't pray for patience.
This.
Yeah.
You'll
be tested.
Check.
I think I just take it to the next step. Okay. And I know you guys don't see this because you're being so much, but I have a problem with pain.
With what?
I have a problem
with
pain.
With what?
Fainting. Literally fainting. It's overwhelming and I'm fainting. You know? And what the Lord told me is I'm going to take the quit out of you.
Before I even put that thing in drive, I'm talking
the word.
You guys.
The word.
Yeah. You you guys remember that old cartoon, the buzzer mom?
Yeah.
And the little bit, a big, oh, I can't do that. Oh. And it's, and so the buzz, the
mom. Showing your age, Sam.
Oh, Sam, let me correct you. That was chicken hot.
Oh, whatever. Oh, I can't do this. And he would say, yes, you can. And finally, he just kicked her, she kicked him out of the tree.
Out of the nest.
Out of the nest. Because, you know, we're like that little baby buzzard or whatever that was, that, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. And you know what? When you do that, it's all about you. Because God created you, and he put everything that we have and everything that we need in us that we can do all things through him, but not through us. So when you depend on him, just go for it. Just go for it, you know? Go for it. And
say, well, you see, he always said, well, I'm going to an old problem. I'm going to get a whole new problem.
Yes.
And I go by there, or I'm trying to go by this, and I stumble about every day. And that's my favorite verse in the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And if we all would just live by that one proverb, trust in the Lord, and I say this with emphasis, all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and always, he'll make your path straight. But we just, every day we get up and we say, you know what, God, I understand.
Take God in your back pocket and off you run.
Well, I understand where you're going, but here, let me, we need God.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the one we got to do. The whole thing is broken.
If you notice,
hear me, you'll probably hear me say this at least once during every Friday, because that's, that's probably the biggest thing for me, is if we do it.
I know without a doubt, everybody here has opened the Bible and read it. But have you noticed one thing that's not in the Bible? There's no blanks for you to fill in. It's all there. And keep it what's there.
This is the only blank.
Mark,
you reminded me of a cartoon that you said you liked, the one with the buzzard, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, the one I liked was the guy that says, "Help me, Mr. Wizard."
Oh yeah. I want to do this. I want to do that.
And then the wizard would make his potion and come to him and bail him out.
But you know what? The thing is that, you know, every one of us is perfectly made for his glory. And then when we learn to just raise our hands and say, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever you want. You want me to walk out? If there was that, if you want me to go do this, I'll do it, you know?
That's called the walk of faith, and it's really hard to do.
Thinking so much about our ability and focus on his ability. Because I know many of you guys have, this experience has happened to you, that you have said something, and all of a sudden you said, I said that. You know? That came out of me.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, because he poured it in you. And God has poured so much in us, but we don't go forward because we think that too much of ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. No, you can't. You're right. We can't do it. But when we focus on him, then we could do all things through Christ. Not us, but him. And he does. You know, you said something about when we started the ministry. You know what? He told me just to go full time. Makes no sense. Close a business, sell up a
spring. He told Abraham to leave where he was at, go in the desert. Yeah. Like, what? I got a man here. Why would I want to do that?
You know? And as God is my witness, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what I was doing. But everything fell in place.
So you stepped out by faith.
Right. Everything fell in place. All of a sudden, this was coming. Trucks were coming. Vehicles were coming. People were coming. Volunteers were coming.
Doors being open.
The doors were open, man. And thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Thank you.
As they shall be again.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But you know, I think you can't really come to salvation unless you realize the best you can ever do under your own strength is fail miserably.
Yeah.
But with God's grace and mercy and direction, you can be a success. Yeah, you may never be in life, and nobody, you know, may not have riches, but to Him you're successful. Because you bowed that knee and you said that prayer and you told people about Him. That's success.
You know, when Peter was in the, going into the temple, the lame man that was out there.
Silver and gold have enough.
Yeah. Now, that man could have stayed right there.
Oh, yeah.
No, leave me alone. I'm okay. You know, instead of being healed. Yeah. Okay. When you're healed, check this out. When you're healed, there's another responsibility that you have that you never had. Now, if you've been handicapped all these years, and because you've been handicapped and you've been there collecting alms, now you got a responsibility.
Yeah.
Now you're doing good. You're well. You can go out and work. You can do that. Yeah. Work! You don't make this regret. Work! And you know, so all of a sudden you have a responsibility now that you've been healed.
Yeah.
That you've been paid.
Yeah.
Now you're not going to fend for yourself. Get out there and do something. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Andre, I just hear your stories about the nursing homes and stuff. What I haven't told everyone here is I had to put my mom in this living because she kept falling and it was getting really dangerous. You know, your stories, how you really want people to get deep heart because, you know, my mom is a believer, but she's a very, very up and down type situation. She needs somebody like you, Andre, somebody like you. You can't do it another whole area. But what I'm saying is what you do is in the chaplain ministry is to me amazing when you're giving people hope and heart, you know, and you know, I encourage you to get lost in serving the Lord and minister to these people. Because you're going to find God's going to, you know this, that God's going to come in and settle you, calm you, and do everything you need for the inner man. Because you are a man of faith. And men, you know, I can't tell you how much you blessed me when you shared the scriptures on Proverbs and Nine Yards. You know, and the singing. You know, beautiful encouragement. No matter what happens to us physically around us. Faithfully, spiritually, man, you're a man of God, you're a strong man of God. And you affect you. Know.
Good.
And yes, can we?
Oh, yeah.